This is a Dragon Blazer production.
This is Unsolved Comedy.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to Unsolved Comedies. As always, I am your host, Kizea, and we've always got my co-host...
Stefan.
Okay. Never heard him say his name like that ever. I've known this guy for a little bit over, like, a year at this point, and never heard him say his name that way, but we're rolling with it. We'll also have somebody else pop in at some point. I don't know where he is, but he'll pop in, I'm sure. So, today's case is going to hit a little bit close to home for some people. And by some people, I mean me. If you didn't realize, probably not, because you guys have never probably seen a picture of me. I'm black, well, biracial, but still, you know, in that general, you know. This case could potentially be a hate crime, which is why I'm bringing that up, because...
Isn't every case a hate crime where murder is involved?
I don't know. I feel like hate crime is a very specific type of crime. Like, yes, you have to hate somebody to kill them, but killing your daughter, i.e. Casey Anthony, is different from Elijah McClain being killed by cops just because he was black and quote-unquote looked suspicious. Just saying. That's the difference. So the name of this case is, well, the name of the episode for this case is called No Ride Home. The case is covering the murder of Alonzo Brooks. What did you think of the coverage of the case?
It was another interesting case. Some weird developments. Find it odd that the police do not find a body, but a group of random people, family members and friends, do find it, but, you know, we'll get into that.
Yeah. This case was super weird in the process that I had to take preparing for this case. I watched this case, we're recording at 3 a.m., and I watched this case originally at about 10 o'clock earlier this evening. And I, immediately after I watched the case, was beginning to do research on the case. And from what I could find, all of the information that this case has, like everything, is already out there. It's in the Unsolved Mysteries episode specifically. There's nothing that we didn't see.
Well, there's one big thing, but it wasn't something...
It's not crucial to the investigation. It's not a big part of the case. It's a part of the case that's being continued now.
His body is being exhumed.
Which means that the police fucked up the first time.
Oh, you don't say.
This case is also a little bit different because there's no suspect.
Yeah, no, they don't really have a specific suspect at all.
I mean, of course, like, if you watched the episode...
The suspect is racist.
Yeah, literally. If you watch the episode, there's a couple of, like, weird things, like his friends left him at the party, or he got into an argument with some guy, or he potentially was with some girl, but nothing that, like, sticks. Like, the family doesn't suspect the friends. They're a little bit pissed off that they left him by himself. But other than that, it's not like they suspect that any of the friends had anything to do with it. They don't, like, it's not your average case. Like, the last few cases that we've done, we've pretty much been able to say, this is the person that we think did it, allegedly, and this is what we think happened.
Yeah, so far, every single one of these cases, I've had a likely suspect.
Yeah. So for this case to not have any suspects, not even any suspects that the police looked into, this case ran dry really fast. And I assume that that's because of poor police work. And that's honestly me being very optimistic.
You say poor police work. I say possibly racist police.
That's what I was thinking. That's why I said poor police work was me being very optimistic. But let's touch on the fact that we do have family members and witnesses in this case. We have, in fact, a rather long list of family and witnesses. So the first person that we meet is his mother. Her name is Maria Ramirez. We then meet his sisters, Demetria and Cindy. And then we meet his third sister, Felicia, and his brother, Billy. He was the youngest of five children. We also meet his friends that went to the party with him, a Justin Sprague, a Daniel Fune, and a Tyler Bogard. So that's our main cast of people as far as like the initial story, like the backstory. Apparently, Justin, Daniel, and Tyler were very close to Alonzo. Very close. They knew him very well. I believe one of them said that he played football with him, and that's how he found out that he was an intense person. We also find out that his uncle, Edward, was present on the day of the search, which we'll get into in a little bit. And his friend, Rodney English, had some hand in helping to find the body as well. So the first person that we hear from is Maria Ramirez. Seems like a typical grieving mother, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, she was very sad. She was grieving.
Yes.
As one would say.
Well, okay. I assume that's where the joke was. But, like, she wears his jacket. She mentions that he was the youngest. She keeps his pictures out. She talks about how when he was younger, he liked karate, he liked football, he liked basketball. She knew her son very well, is what I'm gathering. And we also find out from his sister that he was a very fun, loving, lively person, but also incredibly shy. She said that he's very, very shy. Alonzo was born and grew up in... Yes? That's something else we'll talk about. It's a little weird. Sorry. Our extra guest finally showed up.
Mysterious special guest strikes again.
Sure. but we find out that he was extremely shy. He was born in Topeka, if I'm not wrong. Yes?
Yes.
And at some point he moved with his mother to Gardner in Kansas. These are both in Kansas, if you didn't gather from the Topeka
right
comment. supposedly, he went to a party on the night of April 3rd. And he told his mother he was going to a party. When she asked about the party, he was like, I don't really know, some guy's going off into the service, so we're going to a party for him, I guess, is the way that it was supposed to come across. And that's where the three friends come in. Justin, Daniel, and Tyler were all there that night, but from what I understand, there were other friends there as well.
They said there were about eight people that were
yes.
from their town.
That were from their group. Six to eight, yes. Six to eight in the official, like, in their...
But his actual friend group was just three others.
Yes. So they get to the party. It's a 43-mile drive, about an hour, maybe even a little bit more, I believe, is what Justin said. And they go to Lessing. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that that's how we say that.
You don't want to pronounce the possible racist town properly?
I'm not that worried about it. Full disclosure. It was a farmhouse party, and the farmhouse was by a creek. When you actually look at the overhead view that they give you in Unsolved Mysteries, the house is in the middle. Off to the right is fields. There's a big yard to the left, and then towards the edge of the yard is a creek. And the creek apparently goes on for quite a length. They said that Zoe was very outspoken that night. In fact, the first interaction that they had with anybody at the party was Zoe yelling at everybody at the party, "Who wants a beer?" Which was apparently out of character for him. They mentioned that he seemed a lot more outgoing that night. But we also find out from his mother at the same time that his ankle was hurt that night. So he probably wasn't doing a whole lot of dancing or anything crazy because he was injured. Don't know how he got injured. His ankle was just hurt.
Yeah, they mentioned he had a wound.
Yes. At some point, I guess Alonzo was drinking and playing games and just having a grand old time at this party. At some point, his friends go off to do their own thing, which is fine.
Well, there was a interaction.
Well, yes, I was getting to that. His friends go off to do their own thing, and they turn around and find Alonzo arguing with some guy. Don't know who this guy is. We just hear him arguing with Alonzo. And on top of that, I don't know if this is something that actually one of the three friends mentioned, or if this is just something that the media put out there. Because the media tends to do that, but apparently the N-word was thrown around a couple of times.
Yeah, the friends I don't think ever mentioned it.
No, they don't. It could have been something
that
the media...
other people at the party mentioned that racial slurs were used.
Well, that's the thing. The only witnesses that they have are the three friends. Nobody else came forward. They have been struggling with that for a long time. That's why they put so much effort and time. Like, the FBI... I know that you made a comment that this case was the most reacted to case on the new Unsolved Mysteries lineup. And that's because, don't have a whole lot of faith in humanity, there's $100,000 worth of a reward for any information on Alonzo.
So we're hoping that someone is like, hate black people, want money. Hate black people, want money.
That's what we're
hopefully
hoping for.
Hopefully money overcomes their hatred for black people.
Right.
Slash Mexicans.
Yes, he was of Mexican and black descent, which is why, and he was the only person of color there, according to his three friends.
But if you look at him, I mean, you don't really notice.
You don't really get the Hispanic. You get the... And that's no offense to him. I'm the same way. You don't get the Greek when you look at me. You get the black. I just have that coloring. He had that coloring. In fact, he had a lot of features that I assume would come from his black side of the family. Because I've noticed some similar features in other people, like in his sisters and things like that.
Black is way more dominant in his looks, yes.
Yes. And we're not, that's not, that sounds racist. I swear to God, this is not a racist episode. It's just unfortunately because it's a hate crime, we have to state the obvious.
I kind of can't avoid the fact that there's possible a racial motivator. It is kind of a racist episode. Because we watched an episode that had to deal with possible racism.
Yes.
But that's not confirmed. Unfortunately, that's speculation.
Yes.
It's just...
Now, I will put out there, I'm going to be completely honest with you, Kansas and Missouri are right next to each other. I have been to both states, and I have had one hell of an experience in Missouri that makes me feel like this case is not that far off. It's just, it is what it is. When you're in the middle of BFE in those states, no, it's not predominantly racist in, like, the big cities, but we were driving through Missouri when I moved, out across the country, and we were stopped because my uncle, at the time, was the only white person with us. It was his wife, who's black, me, my sister, my mom, and my grandma, and we're all black. So these white guys, we got out to use the bathroom, and these white truckers came and were like talking to my uncle and calling him names and asking him what he was doing, spending time with all these N-words, and he got really upset. And he came into the gas station, was like, "You guys need to get in your car and leave." And they tried to block us in, like we were in genuine danger. So if BFE in Kansas is anything like BFE in Missouri, I 100% believe that this had racial motivators.
Well, I'm not arguing it. I'm just saying that there is no actual proof to believe that it was. It could be as simple as he started flirting with the wrong girl, and the girl's boyfriend was there, and, you know.
It could be anything. Unfortunately, racism is a very difficult crime to prove. I mean, you can't criminalize thought, but it's very difficult to prove that kind of thing. So, Alonzo,
all we know is that he was, from what everybody said, the only black man.
The only person of color in the whole at the whole party.
Yeah. And the only person of color happened to die at that party.
Okay, so his first friend leaves at about 10 o'clock, and I believe it was Daniel. And Daniel said that he had to get home, he had things to do the next day, he couldn't stay up all night. Yes, I know, I'm getting there. That one left, and then 45 minutes later, the other one left. I'm breaking it up. So, the first friend left at about 10. Said he had stuff to do, he couldn't stay out all night. Left him there with two of his other friends. The next person to go home was Tyler. That was about 45 minutes later. Tyler says...
he was the one that went for cigarettes.
No, Justin's the one that went for cigarettes.
So, Justin was the last one to leave?
Yes, Justin...
I was thinking there was someone else still there.
No. Well, there is. We'll get there. Justin is the one that Alonzo rode to the party with and was the guy that he was supposed to ride home with.
Okay.
Tyler leaves 45 minutes after Daniel leaves at about 11 o'clock, he says. And then at some point, Justin runs out of cigarettes. And him and Alonzo both smoke, so he goes to get a cigarette from Alonzo. Alonzo's completely out.
Right.
So Justin goes, "Hey, I'm going to go get some cigarettes." And Alonzo's like, "Cool, get me a pack," and gives him some money to get a pack of cigarettes. Justin claims, and this is not verified, but nobody seems to question it.
He took a right instead of a left.
Yes, he took a right instead of a left and got lost about 30 minutes north of where they actually were. So he drove for another 15 miles before he found a place to turn around. Yeah, his car got stuck. Like, this guy just had a really hard time. And if you've ever been out on gravel roads in the middle of BFE, it's kind of a pain in the ass. So I'm not going to call him a liar because I've gotten my car stuck in gravel roads before.
It sounds like Alonzo had a harder time.
Well, you know, death is a preferable option than taxes.
Jesus Christ. Okay, no, but... Justin had a hard time. He went to go get cigarettes and completely got lost and got stuck. Like, you know how it is. Where we live in Ohio, there is a fuck ton of gravel roads and BFE, and you get stuck, and it's just, it's a pain.
I wrecked a car in a barn.
Literally, that shit happens. That should also tell you a lot about where we live, that my boyfriend crashed his car into a barn. Okay.
The truck getting T-boned.
That wasn't your fault, though.
Yeah.
So, Justin gets lost, and he calls his friend Adam. And he's like, "Yo, get a hold of Alonzo. I'm lost. I have no clue where I am, and I have no clue how to get back. I'm trying to get back." And remember, this happened in 2004, before there was Siri and cell phones and GPS.
I mean, GPS was a thing, I believe, in 2004, but it wasn't widely available for everyone. It wasn't exactly on everybody's phone.
And you gotta remember, this, like, the oldest person there is Alonzo. Alonzo's 23. All of his friends are younger.
A lot of underage drinking, apparently.
Yeah.
16 to 21 was the age group.
If you don't count Alonzo, yes. Alonzo was 23. But, you know, like, so, it, like, he calls Adam and he's like, yo, I'm lost. I don't know where I am. I'm this fucked situation. And he said that he hears Alonzo talking shit in the background. And he's like, you're never going to make it back. I'm just going to find another ride home.
I thought he said he had another ride home with someone else.
Justin asked Adam, who is the friend that he called, to make sure that Alonzo got home. At this point, the story that we have, Adam is our best suspect, and that's because Adam is potentially the last person to see Alonzo alive.
Well, last person within his friend group.
Yes. So Adam supposedly was supposed to take Alonzo home, and that never happens.
Now, did they ever say anything? Did Adam ever say what happened, where he left, when he left?
So Maria gets a call the next day, and somebody's trying to find Alonzo.
So they just kind of gloss over that.
No, they don't talk about it, but I'm trying to get to the point in the story where they talk about it. And Maria freaks out because, according to her, and according to all of his friends, Justin, Tyler, and Daniel, he never stays anywhere but his house. Very rarely. And so, this was odd for him not to come home. It was extremely odd. So his mom starts calling all those friends, and this is when we start to hear the stories from his friends. Justin says that he went home because Adam agreed to take Alonzo home. And according to Adam, now we never hear from Adam. Adam has not come forward. He is not talking to Unsolved Mysteries. We never see him. So Adam supposedly was supposed to take Alonzo home, but according to Adam, they got lost in translation and they missed each other, and he thought Alonzo had already gone home. I don't know who he thought he went home with, and that's why I say at this point Adam is our best suspect, because he was supposed to take Alonzo home and doesn't really have a good reason as to why he didn't take him home.
Yeah, and it's really, really hard to find a black man in this all white redneck town.
I mean,
party.
Honestly,
this isn't Where's Waldo.
It is, but it's a really easy
match.
Version of Where's Waldo. I mean, it's like the same thing that we were playing with your cat when he went missing. Where's Waldo? He's the only gray thing running around town. Like,
that's a little different.
I'm just saying, it's like, there's no other gray cats in the neighborhood, so if we saw a gray cat, we knew it was yours. There's no other black people in this neighborhood, so if you see a black person running around, you should assume it's Alonzo and probably pick him up. You get where I'm going?
I already made the joke.
But
black cat crossed my path on my way home today.
Oh, Jesus, you brought the bad juju here.
I almost picked up two kitties tonight.
I would have been okay with that. Why don't you bring them home to me?
I even have sausage sticks ready to try and... I saw this really cute baby tabby. It was all orange. It looked like a Garfield.
This is where this podcast is going, cats.
Mysterious stranger has arrived.
Thank you. So, Alonzo's mother calls Alonzo's best friend, his name is Rodney English, I believe, and she calls Rodney and she's like, hey, Alonzo's not home, do you want to come and help us look for him? Rodney's like, yeah, sure. So he drives from Topeka to Gardner. He still lives in Topeka, he drives to where Alonzo lived. So that's already a lengthy drive, and then he drives with Justin another 43 miles to Lessing to see where this party happened. And he said that he was really confused as to why they left without their friend. But, you know, weirder things have happened. People leave their friends all the time. They're like, hey, I just assumed that you went home with somebody else. I just assumed that you had already left. I just assumed that this happened. I just assumed that that happened. Like, it's not the weirdest thing to ever happen for somebody to leave their friend at a party. Is it? Does that mean that their friends, like, did the right thing and made the right decision? No, not by a long shot, but I'm not saying it's weird. It doesn't make me suspicious of them that they left him at this party by themselves. They say that they started walking the area. They walk along the creek first. Don't find anything along the creek. They look inside the house and they don't see anything. They don't see Alonzo in the house. So they begin to walk along the right side of the house up against the road and towards the fields. Rodney crosses the street to look at the fields and finds his hat and his boots. One boot is a significant distance from the other, but Alonzo's hat and boots are found on the side of the road. That's the first thing that they find, and I believe that this is found on the 4th, which is the day that they officially consider him missing. The family considers him missing. One thing that we do hear from Justin and Daniel, and probably Tyler as well, I just don't remember what he said, is that Lessing is a predominantly white town, and racism is a common thing there. From what I've read up on, it's not a common thing anymore, but at the time in 2004, 10 years ago, if not more than 10 years ago, 16 years ago at this point, probably a lot more common, to be completely fair. Justin takes all of the blame. He said that he should have stayed with him. He feels horrible that he didn't stay. And Justin was my main suspect up until I heard him take complete blame. And I saw him cry over the loss of his friend. And then I was like, I don't think he did this.
I mean, people can fake cry.
I mean, yeah, but you saw the same person that I saw.
I don't think it was Justin either, however, people can.
People can. I just don't think that that was what happened.
The heart in his eyes definitely told a story. And
I don't think he did it.
That's one thing, is growing that human connection with anybody is deep. And to lose anybody close,
it's a pretty serious thing.
Who was the one that came up with the party idea? And why?
I don't remember exactly. They said that within their friend group, they had just heard about this party that was happening in Lessing, and
I mean, they kind of just weird.
It is weird.
Heard about a party an hour away.
Well, they okay.
But
to be completely fair,
2004.
2004. Correct. He's right. 2004.
MySpace was still a thing.
Literally. So, and from what I understand,
heard about it in a roundabout way.
Right. From what I understand, Justin said that they heard about this party for some guy that was going into the service. I don't know if they knew the guy. Don't know. But that's what Justin said happened. Justin said that they heard about this party and it had something to do with some guy going into the service, which matches up completely with what Alonzo told his mother. He told his mother the same thing, that it had something to do with some guy going into the service. They just heard about it. They
just
thought they would go.
I thought it was weird.
It's storming outside.
This is also something that I would like to bring up. When Marie Ramirez calls the police or goes to the police.
You didn't really get too much into the finding the shoes.
Well, I mean, I really don't know. I don't know exactly how to go any deeper into that. It's fucking weird that his shoes were found. But this whole fucking case is weird because later we'll talk about his body being found. It wasn't.
That they were just in the field.
One was on this, like, let's say one was at the bar. We have a little island in our kitchen. One was at the island. And the other one was probably at Lyle's house. Like, that's how far away the shoes were. They weren't strung up. They were on the ground.
Well, they suggested that possibly someone... Exactly what I was... Why I wanted to bring up the shoes is because the most likely scenario in my eyes, they mentioned possibly someone throwing his shoes.
Yeah, but why would somebody throw the
car? My thought was they a group of men had him, was dragging him, and his shoes fell off.
It wouldn't have to be a group. So.
No. They said that it would have to be a group. We see his friends talk about it, and they say that he was not a small man. We don't find out what his weight and height was.
He was a football player. He was a strong person. And he was a strong-willed person.
They said
person.
It would have taken, at the very least, it would have taken three to four men to... Yeah. Subdue him, maybe not to drag him, but to subdue him. It would have taken multiple people.
So here's the thing, even in subduing, so if somebody's kicking their feet, the edge of a shoe can catch on any little valley. Depending on how he kicked his feet, depending on which shoe dropped first, is saying which side he's being dragged, subdued on.
Yeah.
So
that's what I think. I think he was being dragged and his shoes popped off.
I mean, I didn't. Honest to God, I didn't even think about it. I was so focused on the other weird things that come about in this case later that I just didn't even think about it.
I'm a sneakerhead. So depending on which shoe is dominant, depends on which side is his dominant side.
Whichever foot wasn't injured, irregardless of his dominant side.
Well, that is true.
Whichever foot wasn't injured.
He didn't have an injury. That is quite correct.
So, we're talking about the police. The police told Maria that she had to wait 48 hours to report her son missing. Which is not true. That is completely untrue. You do not have to wait any length of time if your child goes missing to report them missing. There is a law. I don't know if it's in every state, but there is a law called the Johnny Gosch Law or something like that, where in the Johnny Gosch case... They forced the family to wait 48 to 36 hours to report their son missing and lost vital time. And after that case, the mother of the missing child got the law changed. So you do not have
to
wait.
Now, is that law different based on the age? You got to remember this. Yes, this is
no,
her son.
Because if I call the report Davey missing, it doesn't matter
don't
if he's...
Say my name. I'm a mysterious special guest.
It doesn't matter that he's 22 as opposed to 17. You don't have to wait to report somebody missing.
So remember, this also applies to people who have dementia, Alzheimer's. Like, they forget where they are. There was a man who quite recently was lost for 3 days and was within 4 miles of the nursing home he was supposed to be at.
So
I just know I've always heard of the 24 hours.
Whatever, no,
so. No, you don't have to wait any length of time. It was changed with Noreen Gosch in, I think it was Iowa, was where the case originated, was where Johnny Gosch went missing. And Noreen Gosch, Johnny Gosch's mother, fought at the Supreme Court on the national level for that law to be changed. Because she said that if the police had taken her seriously when she called the police at 5:30 in the morning, the day her son went missing, they could have gotten so much further, but they made her wait 48 hours. So the Supreme Court changed that law. That was in the 80s, or that was in the 70s or the 80s.
I was going to say,
this
kid, this is 2004.
Let me put this timeline for you. That case took place. Johnny Gosch was one of the first milk carton kids. You know when you look at missing people on milk cartons?
Yeah, now the missing people.
He's the kid that started that. So that's the timeline we're dealing with. So it definitely would have been in effect in 2004.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
they just gave her shit because they could. They didn't want to do their jobs, which is something that we see a lot of times with missing persons cases, and I'm not bashing cops here. Cops have a very difficult job. But in a lot of missing person cases, how many times do you hear of somebody being missing for 2 days before the cops actually do anything about it?
Well, in this case, I would like to... I believe the philosophers were the NWA. Fuck the police.
Okay. Fuck the police is what we're doing then, I guess.
That's how I feel about this case. Fuck the police.
So in this, it's a very confusing.
The police work was shit. I'm not even going to argue with Steven. The police work was fucking terrible. And, like, again, I'm not bashing cops. They have a lot of hard work to do in a day, but they did a really shitty job on this case. They didn't take the family seriously. Literally the next thing I have in my notes is the police did not take the Brooks family seriously. They were trying to tell the police this is out of his character. And the police were like, no, he just got drunk and went walking somewhere.
See,
he doesn't have shoes on. His ankle is injured, and you're trying to tell me that he's drunk walking around somewhere? No, that's not what happened. You just don't want to get off your ass.
I feel like you're giving the police too much credit. I'm saying fuck the police, because I believe the police are in on the racism and did not want to find him.
No, I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just also bringing up the point.
Small backwater town.
Very small backwater town. In fact, it was so small that the Kansas Bureau of Investigation took it over within 3 days of Alonzo being reported missing. The local police department did not have the opportunity to investigate this case. Paul Filla was a deputy at the time of the disappearance, and he was a local deputy at the sheriff's office in Lansing. And he said that within 3 days of Alonzo going missing, from the 4th to the 7th, KBI takes over the case completely, and they are no longer responsible for the case.
There's no reason why a group of family members and friends should find his body in 30 minutes after the police were looking.
And the family has a reason for that. The family does have a reason for that. The family does not blame the police for that. The family has a reason.
I blame
for that.
The police.
I don't, because I'll get into why I don't blame the police later, because there's some inconsistencies with the way his body was found.
Oh, no, that no. I don't think the body was in that shed this entire time.
No. Just let me get there, because when I get there, I have some information that, like, blew my mind when I read it, because all the medical examiner could say was, oh, there was so much decomposition, I couldn't tell anything. And I'm, like, looking at the information that I got, and I was like, his body couldn't have been that badly decomposed. His brother gave us a description of what his body looked like when they found him in the water. And he had to literally have been killed within 24 to 48 hours, because on day 3, your body starts to bloat. And what's the first thing his brother said? His body was not bloated.
My sincerest apologies. Fuck the police. Continue.
So at some point, within 3 days of KBI taking the investigation, the FBI now gets involved. This case, like, I think that the people around kind of knew that if they left this up to the local Lansing, potentially racist police department, allegedly racist police department, that it wouldn't get handled properly. So the KBI took it over 3 days in, and then the FBI gets involved 3 days after that. On April 10th, they get involved.
And the KBI is the Kansas Bureau of Investigation.
Yes.
Which I didn't even know that was a thing.
Do we
have an OBI?
I don't think so. I think that's kind of like in Georgia. So
Ohio.
In Georgia, where my sister-in-law lives, they don't have a jail. They don't have, like, a city jail. Like, we have Mancy, that's our city jail. They don't have a city jail, so they have to take you to county jail if you're arrested. That's where it is, where my sister-in-law's at. So I assume that this is something similar. Like, if it's a high-profile case or something serious that happened and they don't think that the local police department can handle it, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation takes it over. But we don't really have that problem in Ohio, at least not to my knowledge. So, sometime after the 10th, I don't believe I got that date. On April 4th, I'm jumping ahead. On April 4th, rescue teams search the creek. In fact, it includes divers, and we actually see the guy and hear from the guy. His name is Bill Teller, I think. Is in charge of, like, the diver search party thing, and he said that they had 3 guys in the creek and 3 guys in the surrounding area, and they never found anything.
Now, I will say that out of all the fuck the police. The divers seem like they might have actually been legit in trying to find him.
Yeah.
Because they even say, we offered to look again, and they just...
never invite us back out. In fact, we hear from them later when we find out that the family found the body, and he's like, if that body was out here, because they searched twice. They searched once by themselves, I think, and then they searched when the police actually did their full search. They searched with cadaver dogs and everything. I think they said they had divers on that day as well.
I didn't think they did.
I could be wrong, but I really thought they might not have done it twice. They might have just done it on the day with the cadaver dogs. And they said that if the water was low enough that they could see the bottom, and they would have been able, if his body was there, they would have been able to see his body just by sweeping their feet and shuffling their feet.
Yeah, they flat out bring up that it's weird that he was found it and the way he was found and everything. So the divers are the only people that I don't say, fuck the divers. I don't say that. Right. That's negative. It's fuck the police.
So I talked about how the police say that Alonzo got drunk and tried to walk. And Justin, this is like one of the other times that we hear from Justin, and Justin's very passionate about this. Justin said that he thinks, he was like, that didn't happen. It's completely out of Alonzo's character to just go walking somewhere. He would have been more likely to call somebody like me or his mom or whoever and have him pick him up, as opposed to going out and walking by himself. That was completely out of character. And his ankle was messed up as well. Justin brings that up as well, that his ankle was messed up. So how the fuck is he walking around without shoes on in a moshy, swampy, kind of creek-like area, you know? It was like, Justin brings up that it was weird. So
I'm surprised the police didn't just say, he committed suicide for no reason, out of nowhere, case closed.
The police didn't do the same thing to Alonzo that they did to Rivera.
That seems to be a theme on this Unsolved Mystery cases. Almost everyone has a possibility of, fuck the police.
Yeah, literally. So on May 1st, this is 27 days after Alonzo goes missing, the family's kind of pissed, and they've been begging to go search, and the police are like, listen, we cannot have you guys tampering with shit while we're out there searching. Let us do our searches, and then we'll let you go out and search. The family's calling every day, and the police are like, listen, we need to do our job. We'll contact you when we have something, which I'm not even mad about the police on that one.
If I didn't think they were shady as fuck, that's legit. You do not want the family to go in out there tampering evidence, screwing things up.
Right.
They're not trained to do what they're doing.
I don't think, and that's one thing that I think the cops were legit on. We cannot have you guys out tampering with things, because we see the way that Alonzo's mother treats his personal items. And I'm not saying that she would have done that at the time or that what she's doing is bad. But let's say that Alonzo's mother went out with the cops and wanted to search for her son and found the dice that were in his pocket. Then the police have to fingerprint her and eliminate her as a suspect. It makes their job 10 times harder.
Right.
I think the police were legit on that.
That's what a proper police should be saying. However,
That's the only thing I think the police were legit on was, please don't call us. Let us do our job. We will call you when we have some information for you. And no, we're not going to let you search, because we cannot have family tampering with the evidence. At some point, I think the family annoyed the fuck out of these cops, because at some point, the family is allowed to go search. That doesn't happen.
These black people that want to know where their black son is?
I understand where you're coming from.
Is annoying the white racist police.
If it was anybody else, I would say the same thing. If it was a white family, I would say the same thing. At some point, they pestered the cops, because I've never heard of this before. Quite personally, and you know me, I'm into true crime. I'm into every case. My current case is, you know, the Lori Vallow case, because I think that shit's fucked. You know, like, I'm constantly into true crime, always looking into shit. I've never heard of a family going out and searching for a body by themselves without cops present. That doesn't happen. It's not something that they really typically allow to happen because they cannot... If you get overly emotional at seeing your brother dead on the ground, which is completely human and completely normal, you can't... Just a second. Calypso! Get out! Okay. You can't, you know... If I, God forbid, anything were to ever happen to my sister, but if I was in that situation and I saw my sister dead on the side of the road, I would not be able to stop myself from touching her, grabbing her, trying to resuscitate her. And they really can't have those things happening. So I don't really understand why they allowed the family to go up there. I think it's because the family pestered them and they were like, hey, if we give them something to do for a couple of days, we might be able to make some progress because they won't be calling us every 2 hours. They won't be bothering us. You know, yes, I understand that they're not bothering for an unreasonable reason, but the police probably thought if we let them do that, we didn't find anything. So we assume there's nothing out there. So let's just let them go do what they're going to do, and we'll keep working on the case from here. So I don't think they actually thought that anything was going to come out of that family search.
Oh, I think they let the family search because they wanted them to find the body.
I don't think so.
I don't know why.
No. I think it's more likely, and even the police say this, and the family says this as well, that they believe that the body was placed there after the police did their search. They don't believe that the body was out there when the police did their search. They don't believe that the police hid the body.
I don't think the body was there while the police were doing the search either.
I think that whoever killed Alonzo wanted the family to find the body. And you heard the same thing that I heard. It's a small town. And this came from Billy. Billy Brooks, Alonzo's brother, he said that what probably happened is the sheriff at the time was the one who gave them permission to search the area. So what he assumes happened, he said it probably spread like wildfire. He was like, he could have gone home and told his wife that the family was going to search the area today, and it could have spread all the way around town by noon, which was when they got to town to search. And at that point, the person that killed Alonzo had heard about it and dumped the body. That's what Billy Brooks, the brother of Alonzo, said he thought happened. He said he didn't think it had anything to do with the police. He thought that the body had literally been moved, and I totally agree with that because, like I said, got some information. But we know that the police searched twice, once with divers and cadaver dogs, and they searched for hours. They said that they searched from, like, basically noon until the evening time when it was time for them to go home for the night. So they searched for a long time. Within an hour and 30 minutes, the family finds Alonzo's body in the creek. They said that there's a white shed that should have been checked out, but at this point the white shed is gone, so it can never be checked out. It's gone. It was torn down at some point. Now there are two things that are contradicting right now.
They're saying that white shed is no longer there, but it was there when they found the body.
It was there. They said that they wanted to check it when it was there, but they found Alonzo's body first, so they ignored the shed and focused on him.
Oh, which is reasonable. They found it in the shed.
They found his body in the creek.
Oh.
I am going to tell you what I think. I think there was almost no decomposition on the body. Just like we saw there was almost no decomposition to his personal items, I don't think there was any decomposition on the body as well, and I'll explain that in a minute. Eric Mitchell, the doctor who was the medical examiner, did the autopsy, said that there was no penetrative wounds, no bone fractures, there was no sharp penetrative wounds, and there was no gunshot. So the two most likely causes of death are drowning and strangulation, but he can't find proof for either of those because, according to him, the decomp was too bad, which I don't believe, but the cause of death was labeled as undetermined. Which is, this is the second case in Unsolved Mysteries that we've seen with an undetermined cause of death. The first one was Ray Rivera, and the apparent suicide off of the Belvedere, and this is the second undetermined cause of death that we've seen. According to the friends and family, specifically Justin and Daniel, and Tyler as well, they talk about how many theories there were online and how many rumors. This was right at the pinnacle of MySpace and Reddit. And, like, Reddit's still a thing, but according to them, there were so many theories that it was hard to deduce people that were actually telling the truth that they maybe thought something and people that were making shit up. They said some of it was feasible, but there was also some of it that was just completely asinine and made no sense. So I assume that it was like a high-profile case and it was just something that the 2004 true crime community jumped on and just decided they were going to throw everything at it. And I think, honestly, these people thought they were helping, but they hurt more than they helped. The cops said that there were fights that night after the friends left. None of them involved Alonzo, according to them. They didn't arrest him. They didn't tell him he had to leave or anything like that. But there were fights. And the friends, Justin, Tyler, and Daniel, found that out from the police. One of his sisters, Felicia... No. It was either Felicia or Demetria... said that there were rumors that he was talking to some white girl. And they kind of were, like, you know, up on each other. And she said maybe they got a little too friendly. Maybe somebody there didn't like it. And, you know, took him out for that. His friends would have taken more than one person... It would have taken more than one person for Alonzo to have been subdued. It would have taken at least 3 to 4 people, they said. He's a big guy. He would have fought back. You know, Justin specifically said that he would have gone down fighting. And this is when we see Justin start to cry, and this is when we start to see the human side of Justin that made me think he didn't do it. Because he's crying and he's like, I feel so bad. I wish I could trade places with him. And I would have gone down fighting with him as well, which I think is a very powerful thing to say when you know that it was racially motivated, or you assume that it was racially motivated, allegedly racially motivated, like Justin thinks it's allegedly racially motivated. So it's a very powerful thing for him to say, I would have gone down fighting with my friend at that point. And that's another reason I don't think that he had anything to do with it. Something that Billy does when they're talking about the body being discovered is he describes the body. He said that the body was not bloated. Not bloated. And just so that everybody's aware, bloating is actually part of decomposition. It is not something that would occur just from him being in the water. It's a part of decomposition.
Water just speeds it.
And he was also not pale or discolored, which is also a part of decomposition. There was no damage to the personal items. The things were worn. Like, maybe he had been wearing them for a couple weeks. They had holes in them. Like, it looked like wear and tear if you were wearing the same shirt for 3 weeks straight and you weren't at home and you were, like, out in the wilderness or somebody was doing something to you. But his dice, his movie ticket, his plastic, his papers, and his bandana, none of which were damaged. The only thing that was damaged was his, like, sweater that he was wearing that night. That was the main thing that was damaged. The family believes that the body was placed there right before their search, or after the police's initial search. I'm thinking it was right before the search, based on the information that I have. So they want to know, April 4th to May 1st, 27 days worth of time, where was Alonzo in that time if he wasn't in the creek? Somebody mentioned a meat locker. Was the body frozen? Because the body, like I said, the medical examiner says the body was badly decomposed. But based on the description that we got from Billy, the body was not badly decomposed. And that might be some corruption on the medical examiner's part. Because when a body dies, it takes 3 to 5 days for bloating to occur. So he was not bloated, meaning he was either frozen in the time that it would have taken him to decompose, or he was killed literally somewhere between 24 and 48 hours prior to his body being found and left in the creek. He was not discolored, and discoloration takes 8 to 10 days. Discoloration is when your body takes on a green tone. This is when your body begins to look pale because your blood is actually starting to decompose, and that takes 8 to 10 days. So there could not have been that much decomposition on the body that the medical examiner says there was, because two crucial things that happened within the first 2 weeks of a body dying have not happened yet.
Maybe he just doesn't know how to examine a black body.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, it is what it is. I just... He also said that there's no way to prove that a body has been frozen, which I don't think that's true. I'm pretty sure that you can find out if a body was frozen.
He says
that you can find out if a body was frozen, but there would be molecular changes in the body that wouldn't be detectable with the level of decomposition on the body. But as we've already discussed, decomposition hadn't really started yet past the point of his internal organs beginning to decompose. So there wasn't that much decomp. He's just an asshole. Like, allegedly, but he's just an asshole. I just can't. I'm literally, or like,
racist,
I'm sitting here.
And fuck the police again.
I'm like, he wasn't bloated. We all know that bloating is a part of decomposition. We all know that it happens. If you've seen a dead body, you know that they bloat. It's because your body starts to create gas from the organs decomposing in your body. And so your body expands, right? Discoloration happens because your blood starts to decompose inside of your body and it takes your pigmentation away and makes your body turn green, which is what makes you look pale. These things haven't happened yet. These things happen within 2 weeks of a body dying. Therefore, decomposition could not have been that bad because the body doesn't even begin to liquefy until 14 to 21 days post-death that the body begins to liquefy. So there couldn't have been that much decomp. This isn't like, and I guess that that's what frustrates me. This isn't like Kaylee Anthony, where she was missing for 2 years before her body was found or something like that, and they found just a skeleton. This body was not bloated. This body didn't have discoloration. And the reason I'm focusing on those two points is because those are the two points that we got from Billy, his brother. And I don't know about you, but I would notice if my sister was bloated. I would notice if my sister was discolored. Those are important things to notice. Something that could have stopped that process would have been a meat locker, which is something that Rodney English brings up, or a freezer. Because freezing a body stops the decomposition process.
Right.
Like I said, it's very, very, very odd. This case is extremely weird. I thought the last case was weird because there was no evidence. But this case is even weirder because they can't even figure out how he died. And I don't trust this medical examiner at this point, which is why I'm really glad that his body's been exhumed, because none of this makes sense. None of it makes sense. How did he die without any fracture to his bones? So he said that since there's no fracture to any of the bones or no puncturing of the bones through the skin, that means he wasn't beaten. He wasn't... They don't find any evidence of alcohol poisoning, so he didn't drink himself to death. He... Like, this was a strong guy. You know what I mean? Like, there was no puncture wounds, no stab wounds, no gunshot wounds. Like, how did this strong football player, determined man, just die, and they have no way of finding out? Because there is a way to find out, and that this is another thing that pissed me off. He said that he could have drowned, but there's no way to tell. Yes, there is. If there's water in his lungs, he drowned. If there's not water in his lungs, he probably didn't drown, because dry drowning cases are extremely rare.
Now, since they are exhuming the body, we're probably going to be doing an update on this case. because it sounds like they're going to try it. And now it might be harder because this is 16 years later.
Yes.
To find evidence, but something.
Yeah, just anything at this point.
Is not right.
Because the family, I 100% believe that the family deserves justice for this. In fact, if any of you guys out there know anything, please contact Unsolved Mysteries, because it's not fair that the family has had to go 16 years without justice. It's not fair that they weren't taken seriously. It's not fair that the police didn't interview more people. It's not fair that the police allowed people to decide, like allowed people that were at that party tonight, that night, to decide whether or not they were going to take a lie detector test. It's not fair that they did have all of these people take lie detector tests, but nobody, like, nothing came out of it. And that's something that Daniel brings up, is that they had people take lie detector tests, but nothing came out of it. And it was more than just the three friends. They had other people take lie detector tests, and just nothing came out of it. They never heard anything about it.
Said about 100 people.
Yeah. So all these people take lie detector tests, and you guys can't figure out anything? Nothing? Like, it's just...
racism.
I mean, it's really sad, but when a black person dies, it doesn't matter to police in today's day and age. And, like, maybe not in today's day and age so badly, but at least back then it wasn't in a BFE small little
rinky dink
town.
Town.
You know, a black person dying, and they're like, You know, and it just sucks because just because this man had a different skin color than theirs does not mean that his life is any less valuable, does not mean that his family is any less deserving of justice.
All right, are we ready for our next segment?
I'll let you take theories because I really don't have any.
Theories. All right, so first off, let me just ask you this. You don't have any theories, but
sure.
How do you think he died?
Okay. Sorry about that. I don't know. I don't even have any theories about that. There's no information. There's nothing.
Doesn't seem like he was beaten to death.
I don't think that I think that the medical examiner is corrupt as shit, and I don't think that he actually gave an accurate description, because if he actually gave an accurate description, he would have taken note of the fact that the body had not been decomped to the point that it should have been. He claims that there was so much decomp that he couldn't even examine the throat to see if he had been strangled, which is bullshit. It's just, like, I don't even have any theories. I can't even think of. Like, the only theory that I have is that the body was placed there after the police did their search, maybe even to make the police look bad.
Maybe.
By the killer.
I mean, there's a couple thoughts I have. There's a jealous boyfriend. Possibly, I mean, jealous boyfriend, you don't need to be black to be attacked.
Right.
But it could have been amplified by the fact that this is a black man flirting with your girl or whatever. Right. So that's definitely one theory. As I've mentioned, I feel like somehow the police are involved, or at least, like, the person that did it is the chief of police's son, so they cover it up, or, you know...
Or somebody that used to be a cop or something like that.
Yeah. There's also I know we don't think it's them, but there's also the possibility, the fact that it's so far away and in an obvious racist town, what if one of his friends knew that? What if one of his friends brought him there for that reason?
Might have. I don't think it was Justin if it was.
I mean, I don't necessarily...
Like, my best guess would be Tyler, because he seemed to be the least shook up about the whole thing. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. He could have just been the least close.
This is also 16 years later, right. So... I'm not saying that is, but I'm just throwing out different possibilities. You know, it could have been somebody led him there.
Right. Right.
You know that this is or maybe even paid someone to
right.
take care of them.
Potentially. It's one of those things that you kind of really, like, I'm not really sure about. It's just one of those things I just, like, kind of...
The fact that he wasn't, well, and this is based on the coroners, which we don't necessarily trust, but the fact that he wasn't beaten almost kind of takes away...
I wonder if he was, and don't take this out of context, I wonder if he was lynched. Because...
Well, see, that's another thing.
That would explain why he didn't show any evidence of anything else. And that would explain why they really don't want to address the neck or the possibility of strangulation.
Yeah, it's possible.
Because this could also be all about saving their town's image. It could have nothing to do with the fact that the cops are racist. They could maybe just not want their town to look like a racist town because maybe they're already
because
having...
Because it was racist.
Right. I mean, they might just be trying to save their town's image.
I thought I had and then just threw away right away because if it was the case, his brother would have noticed it on him. Is like with the whole
not necessarily
is no what I'm about to say is necessarily one because of his shoes being in different places off the beaten path. I almost even thought of what if he was tied and dragged by a car or a four-wheeler or whatever. But if that was the case, his brother would have probably noticed that because that really fucks with your body.
Yeah.
That really damages the body. And if he just looked like he was normal, there's very little chance that he was dragged like that.
Like I said, I really don't have any theories. I think that you've covered everything that we could possibly address.
There's also the one other thought.
Yes.
Aliens. He was abducted, taken away for 30 days.
I'm sorry, can you tell that he's excited to cover... He's in charge of next week's episode. I'm actually not going to be your host next week. The host will be Steven. Because Steven's going to be in charge of the aliens case. Can you tell that he's excited?
This could be the aliens case, too.
No, it's not.
He was taken by UFO. They studied him. And then that might be why the coroner... Let's say the coroner isn't a fuck-up. And he didn't find anything because aliens took care of it.
Sure.
Hey. I need to get back to these crazy theories like I did in the first episode.
Right.
We've got too serious in these last two episodes.
Alrighty, guys. Well,
but
I think...
No, I feel bad. Justice.
Yes. I think that we've covered everything that we can cover. If you guys have any information, like I said, please contact Unsolved Mysteries. If you guys would like to contact us, you can feel free to contact us on either the Unsolved Comedy... Unsolved Comedies Instagram page or the Dragon Blazer production fan page. You can also email us at unsolvedcomedy@gmail.com. Anything you want to plug?
You can follow me at the Dragon Blazer Productions page on Facebook and on Instagram, and my Twitter is @DragonBlazerPro.
Alrighty, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
And don't be on our next episode of Unsolved Mysteries.